Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels Crusade.
You know what? I was actually already turned up. I hope y'all weren't listening to my earlier conversation with Mike. Were we going out over the air just now? I hope not. We weren't saying anything bad. I never like the mic open when I'm sitting here yapping with Mike. There's no telling what might come out of my mouth. Well, everyone, I know you haven't heard my voice in a long time. I didn't quit the crusade. As a matter of fact, I've been recruited into so many crusades, I don't even know which army I belong to anymore. I have this thing. Well, let me tell you who I am first. I'm David Simpson. If you're new to the crusade, I'm David Simpson, the financial guru to the stars. I go by lots of other names like Fake Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Financial Guru, spelled G-O-O-R-O-O. Also known as Mr. Wonderful, I have a new title, Investment Club Chairman. I like that one, ICC. I'm the ICC. You're icky. I am the ICC, the Investment Club Chairman. Here on the Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing, you can call in if you'd like to, 844-527-8723. I don't expect you to because nobody loves Dave anymore. I don't know why. I guess I do this once a week show. You got to do it every day, Dave, to get the love. You can email me. I have that open to truemoneyshow@crusadechannel.com or david@tffco.com. Stands for the Fiscal Fitness Company. I was in the Crusader Stadium. Let's see. I still am. Oh, well, they got a little Braveheart going on there. So what was I even talking about? Oh, and not hearing my voice for so long and being involved in too many crusades. I have this thing, you know, it's not impossible for me to say no. It's not. I got quite good at it actually for a while where I would tell people no, I had something else to focus on. I've got stuff to do. Sorry, I can't help you. That's not my failing. Used to be, but not anymore. I got to where I could do that. It's just that if someone gives me a pitch that really sounds like it's a good idea and they really need help, then I have trouble saying no. So, you know, Mike wants to do a Congress. Sure, Mike, I'll talk at the Congress. This lady in town wants me to head up her little hybrid homeschool. Yeah, okay, I'll be the headmaster. I mean, we need men. We need men to get involved because the kids don't listen to women and they're not disciplined. Okay, all right, I'll do that. And then this guy says, hey, you want to help me start a Catholic college? And, of course, I've got kids going to Catholic college over 15 hours away. So, of course, I want a Catholic college locally. Who wouldn't? So all of a sudden, I'm just getting pulled in every which way, and it's getting tough. I mean, like, tough. Where Dave is just about done. And then, you know how it goes. Just telling Mike this. Father made an interesting sermon on Sunday. But basically the message from Edith Stein was you can make your plans in the morning, you can pray about him, you ask God to bless him, and when evening time rolls around, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something of this nature. When evening time rolls around, look at the shambles that the plans turned into and ask God to fix it and to fill in all the things that you failed to do that day. And I was like, I know that feeling. I've done that before. Where everything I wanted to get accomplished just, yeah, nothing. But anyway, that's okay. You want to hear what's coming up on the True Money Show besides my humongous announcement? Here's what I'm going to talk about today on the True Money Show. And, you know, there are times when I've done the best show in the world. There are times when I've done the worst show that should be called the best. There's times when I've done the best show that should be called the worst. This time, this was the easiest show in the world to prepare. I don't even know why. Well, actually, I do know why. You know God's helping you. You know God's helping you when from the very moment in the morning, you're getting inspirations. And then every time you click on something throughout the day or you pick up a book or whatever, more stuff for the show. You go, okay, God, I can see you want me to do this show today. So here you go. Here's how it's going to go down, brothers and sisters and bristas and bristettes. In my financial thought of the day, I'm going to go back to the theme of a snake eating its own tail. I think Brother Andre gave some reference to that at the Congress. But anyway, mine's a little different. I don't know if you've been still glowing in the aura of the Crusader Congress. One of the most inspiring things, I thought, well, it was all good, but something that just kind of made me happy. Happy in deep down in my soul. And that doesn't happen very often these days because there's so much wrong in the world. My soul is usually going, ah, right? But so, and it was Mike's idea. Mike says, let's call roll and make everyone stand up, say they're here, and give their title and their kingdom, right? And I don't know why, but that little part made me just smile. And you know, I do know why. I take that back. I do know why. Because you could tell in everyone's voice when they stood up and they said, I'm Wally F. from Wally World. And of course, that was a funny one. Everyone laughs. But everyone who gave the title of their kingdom, that household now that they're saying, hey, this is my land, don't mess with it. You could tell the pride. You could tell the satisfaction. You could tell the sense of finally having a patria that they can love. And it was really inspiring. And then someone comes in with a smart aleck remark, my kingdom is not of this world. I know, but you got one still. You have one temporarily in this world for a while anyway. That's why by the way, Alaconus, that's why I don't call myself the king of my kingdom. I call myself a steward. I am just watching over Christland until the king wants it back. So the Crusader Congress, I got a follow-up to that. That's my big announcement. I think you already know what it is. But anyway, coming off of my speech, I had a lot of questions and some comments, all of them very good. Helped me kind of like even, you know, redirect my attention to certain things. And so I've been working on my idea, and I'm about ready to fully and finally launch it, which you'll hear about in a little while. One of the outcomes of the Congress was that some things that I thought really weren't very contentious were contentious. What do you know? Americans still debating things. But anyway, I've got another voice singing my song. That's what I'm calling it. That's the segment to me. Another voice singing my song. I won't say proving Dave is right, but at least maybe putting some of the doubters to rest, or at least get them thinking some more. By the way, when you're blowing up a giant bubble, whenever you're blowing up a giant bubble, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, watch the guy with the pen. I'm going to do that segment. That's going to be This Day in Money History, watching the guy with the pen. And then I got another little episode of The Slave New World that we all love so much. Slave New World is going to be changing to Slave New Worldview. Of course, I'm always going to do my financial weather report, my financial question of the day. I did not send out in my email a financial question of the day. And so I feel like I have to do that now. And you're going to find this one very strange, but I've been meditating on this really, well, probably for years, but intensively since the Congress. Here's my question of the day. And you're going to say, Dave, that's not a financial question. You're cheating. Well, okay. Here's my financial question today. Are you afraid? What? Are you afraid? Are you afraid to act? Are you afraid to associate with people, maybe like the crusade? Are you afraid to speak out about what you believe? Are you afraid? And I want you to think about that question today and truly answer it, and then maybe even ask yourself a few follow-up questions like, why am I afraid?
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Gloom, despair.
So are you afraid? Dave, that's a weird question, man. I don't understand it, man. Well, you will. Matter of fact, so remember I told you this was the easiest show of all time to prepare? So let's do some market numbers, and I'll tell you how my morning started off and how God was already helping me get my show prepared from the first thing. I don't think this is an updated market number, is it? Let's see. But nope. No, it was down even further. Okay. Well, that's not good news. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down nearly 2%, 1.99%, down $681.50, still sitting at the astronomical number of $33,587.66. The S&P 500 is down a little bit more, 2.14%, $89.06. Boy, everybody's down. Red numbers everywhere. The Russell 2500, that's the small and mid-cap. That even got shellacked worse. Excuse me. Down 3.1%, $27.88. The price point on the Russell 2500 is $872.21. Overseas, the EFA index, Echo Foxtrot Alpha is a symbol. It's down $1.26 or 1.6%. And the emerging markets, Echo Echo Mike is the ETF there. Down $1.48 or 2.76%. That's the second biggest loser of the day. So red numbers everywhere. Look at the bonds real quick. Bonds, Alpha Golf Golf, the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index, down 40 cents or 0.35%. Price on bonds is $113.78. So my financial question today, I know is going to probably rankle some people a little bit. You know, like, I mean, you know, so what, Dave? I am scared. What's the big deal? I mean, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I listen to Mike Church in the morning. I'm a radical. Look, I'm asking the question because I got a sense that from people at the Congress that, hey, Justin, I'm kind of almost losing my headphones altogether. I got a sense from the Congress that that some people, especially like after I gave my rousing speech, because I made some references to that may have sounded like a renegade, may have sounded kind of like, I said to hell with everybody. And it's not what I was saying. I'm explaining that further later in the show. I'm explaining that a little bit more. But I was kind of trying to intimate that I think we've been terrorized into acting and believing a certain way that is not consonant with a good, Catholic, holy person. And when I say holy, you know I mean that in the most generous sense. All of us are just striving for holiness. We don't walk around saying we're holy, but we're striving for it. And I think some people were taken aback by my comments because they thought, well, you're getting a little too radical there, Dave. So listen to this. So this morning, if you don't do this, and I don't do it all the time, but I do recommend it, you know, if you're not going to go to Mass every morning, try to read the Mass. You know, this puts you in the mind of the church. This puts you into what should I be thinking about from the perspective of salvation before I enter into the very temporal world that I have to go slug my way about in, right? So listen to the introit from the Mass this morning. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on them that fear him, hoping in his mercy, alleluia, to deliver their souls from death, for he is our helper and protector, alleluia, alleluia. Rejoice in the Lord, ye just. Praise becometh the upright. You know, that says it a lot better than I said it at the Congress. Rejoice in the Lord, ye just. Praise becometh the upright. If that's what I was saying, if you are acting justly, if your intention is good, if you're trying to act justly, if you're trying to do good things and help others, why in the world are we letting people tell us that you can't do that because of some ridiculous legislation or regulation or just their bureaucratic muscle flexing? That kind of stuff is driving me nuts now, right? And somehow or another, we're alleging, or not? Maybe we're not alleging it. We're trying to. We're almost like implicating or something, implying that a good Christian is obedient even to terrible authority, even to unlawful authority, even to bad laws, because obedience trumps everything. That's not true. You're not a slave. The truth will set you free. Not the truth will set you into eternal slavery because you got to listen to every boss that comes along that tells you something that you're too scared to fight against. So listen to the collect of the Mass. May the happy festival of thy martyrs, Nereus, Achilleus, Domitilla, and Pancras, ever animate our hearts, O Lord, and make us worthy to serve thee. This is the true brotherhood, which overcame the wickedness of the world. It followed Christ, attaining the noble kingdom of heaven. The white-robed army of martyrs praises thee, O Lord. You know, we might be scared. We might be intimidated by the powers that be, all this stuff kind of cooked up against us, right? And it's a natural passion. I'm going to answer the question myself in the show, am I scared? But it's a natural passion in man to have fear and to fear things that are strong or at least apparently strong, to fear things that could hurt you, to fear things that could ruin your life, right? But we're still talking temporally there, right? And it's the courageous, it's those with fortitude that say, no, I am willing to die. That's why the martyr reference came up. For that which is right. And sometimes, matter of fact, maybe more times we even actually willing to admit, sometimes that's the only answer to a problem, and that is to die fighting against the evil. Does that make any sense? Does that kind of flesh out a little bit of what I was talking about at the Congress when I said, let's quit listening to these maniacs who tell us not to do this and we can't do that and the regulations say this and the blah 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 blue, and they are just pinning us down when we should be standing up and walking around like free men and women that we are, with Christ in our hearts, doing our good things, and to heck with the outcome if that offends the liberal powers that be. That's what I was trying to say. I don't know if that makes any clearer or not. Maybe I made it worse. I don't know. We'll find out.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
That's what I was calling the slave new worldview. The slave new world, by the way, that was copyrighted by me, and it really wasn't, but that's, I'll put a trademark on right there. That's me. I created the slave new world. I came up with that idea. Now I'm calling it the slave new worldview. Don't fall prey to the slave new worldview, which is that you're not allowed to speak or associate or advocate or even walk around praying. You're not allowed to do such things, Dave, because that's that might hurt somebody's feelings or something. I don't know. They have some reason why we can't do it, but I say don't listen to them. So I don't know if you've heard, but very soon, I think it might even be, if it's not this evening, maybe they'll say tomorrow, by the end of the week, all of the video and audio and everything else from the Congress will be up on the website. Mike says the landing page is already there. They're finishing polishing up the last few video segments, and then they're going to put it on there. If you are a Founders Pass member, then you get to jump in there and start looking at the Congress to your heart's content. And if you aren't inspired, I'm just telling you, it was... I didn't have low expectations at all. I was part of the program, so I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to go and see how this conference goes. I just kind of expected another conference and hoping that we make a difference, make a bigger splash than last time, whatever. This thing was really, really well done, really inspiring. Mike kept us busy and he kept us fed. that was probably the hardest part of all, eating and drinking the whole weekend. So it was really, really inspiring. And the people that I met, my goodness, they were so good and kind and articulate and wise and helpful. And just it was just one of those moments that you long for when you go, okay, I'm not a freak. I'm not alone. I'm not alone in the universe. Well, I think when you go check out the website and see the videos and the audios and just enjoy the Congress, like I said, at your leisure, I think you're going to say, wow, you missed a big event. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. What I'm trying to make you do is don't miss the next one. I think Mike's already got that one in the planning stages because he's a maniac. Anyway, I'll tell you more about the Congress as we go along. Speaking of the Congress, I did a speech. I did a talk on true money, what it is and why we need it and how to get it. And I think one of the most common questions I get about true money is, Dave, why don't we start our own currency? And believe me, I've thought about that a long time. I've even had people on the True Money Show talking about alt currencies, about alternative currencies that have popped up here, there, and everywhere. And while I don't knock any of those programs, they're usually done at a city level, and they're usually done really not so much as a currency as there are some kind of coupon system, which is fine too. But I think the reason they stay limited and they don't really get more expansive is because we really don't have a lot of production going on, meaning you don't need a medium of exchange, which is what money is or currency is, unless you have things to exchange. And I think that's been a big, big weakness of this new currency kind of movement, right? Like even the cryptos are having trouble with this. Like, you know, nobody's adopting them and using them as currency. So they're all just speculating on the price. And then, of course, they bid them up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Therefore, no one would ever spend one for the chance that it would gain more value. It's getting kind of ridiculous, actually. So, but you get the point, right? There's nothing, you don't need a currency unless there's something in the current to exchange. So that was kind of part of my talk. But the bigger part was this, but we don't have to sit around and like wait for some magical moment to say, oh, maybe we can have a currency now. We could work towards that end. So for the last, 15 years or so in my private financial services business, I've been helping people become their own bankers. The idea being this, that if I could make someone healthier in the financial sense, meaning I give him strength financially. He's not a wage slave. He's not always waiting for the pink slip from the boss and then all of his world would come crashing down. In other words, I make him a little bit more self-reliant because he's a landed class person with some wealth behind his name. My idea being, well, if I can make enough of those individual cells in the body of Christ stronger, maybe the body of Christ as a whole would be stronger, right? Well, I've been 15 years at it. I hope it's helped. I believe it has. I know certain families have been helped enormously. I know in my own life it's been a big instrumental thing. I know Mike's business, he's used this concept to a great advantage. So I know it's helped people. But I thought, because the Congress came around, it's time to up the ante. It's time to go beyond individual solutions and do more of a communal or societal solution. And since all these kingdoms were coming in to my little neck of the woods, I took the chance to say, let's go from being your own banker to becoming the Crusaders' bank. I wanted to move from the individual solve to a collective solve, because I believe that's actually what the other side fears more than anything else. Well, besides exposure, but they've been exposed already. They don't seem to care too much about that anymore. Everybody knows there's this giant mega money conspiracy all over the world that's trying to enslave us, right? They don't even care about the exposure anymore. What they care about now, I think, is organized resistance. Notice that the whole purpose, this whole thing about enslaved, I told you the slave new worldview, the whole purpose of that, and the reason it's so effective, is they've atomized us. We're separated into these little individuals everywhere, and we think we're alone. We think no one else believes like we do. We think we can never fix this because we can't get together and work together on anything. We don't trust anyone. That's a psychological operation they've conducted upon us, ladies and gentlemen. The reason you feel so alone, the reason you feel like you can't trust anyone, the reason you feel like you can't work together, is because you've been propagandized to believe that. And so I made a little pitch at the Congress about creating the Crusader Bank, right? I'll tell you what the purposes are in a minute. And towards the end of the speech, I said, I'm going to use the worst line that any salesman could ever use. You ready? Trust me, right? And it's kind of become a phrase that no one uses because it's become such a joke. We've had betrayals at some of the highest places of government. We've had betrayals in some of the most sensitive places in the church. We've had betrayals by the average Joe, the father and businessman in our own communities. And we wonder, gosh, is anybody decent anymore? And we've started to believe that the answer is no. But let me ask you something. Just because you saw 5 or 10 or let's even say 1,000 reports on the news about the unfaithful person, that's because the news focuses on aberrations. If you saw 1,000 unfaithful stories in the news, well, how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have you passed by in your car every day who were not on the news? They were doing good things. They are trustworthy individuals. They are raising their families and supporting their kids and sending them to colleges and everything else because they love them. Guys, we've been hoodwinked into believing we're alone. We're not. So, Crusader Congress comes together. We realize we're not alone. We realize we have this commonality of interest. And I gave my little pitch about from becoming your own banker to being the bank of the crusade. And I said it should be this should be the second phase and the third phase coming when we create our own currency. But we have to create these enterprises. We've got to create these businesses by which that crusaders own and that they share the ownership, because we need to create a new model of business too. The best analogy I could give is what they call the ESOP, the Employee Stock Ownership Plan. But it doesn't have to be an ESOP. What I'm talking about is some type of business organization that's more humane. It's not two people running it and everybody else being a wage slave. It's the idea of ownership, capital being widely distributed within it, ownership being distributed more widely, more input from the ground up. It doesn't mean everybody has to be the boss. It doesn't mean everyone has to be an owner. It just means that potentiality is there, right? And we're not focused strictly on capital, and I should say capitalism. We're focused more on the idea that we're putting capital to good use to help human beings. So I'll just read off the slide that I used at my speech. Here was the several goals of this new, what I'm calling right now, the Crusader Investment Club. So the first goal is create an investment club, and we're going to fund it by all of the crusaders who want to buying in. I won't even say the amount that you need to buy in. I'm just going to say right now, if you're interested in buying in to the Crusader Investment Club, if you haven't already told me so, by the way, I've already got 30 plus people. I think it's 32 or 33. 33 people have already said yes. I'm looking for 100. 33. I'm one-third the way there in 10 days. What, you're in. I'm counting you, but I have somebody paying for you, I think. I think somebody's going to pay for you, which is nice. Somebody actually said, I will buy Mike Church's share and your share, David. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you. And but then I said, no, you know, buy Rick Barrett's share, because Barrett and Mike do the lion's share of the work around here, right? They're the ones busting their hump and blood, sweat, and tears for many times low return. And so I said, let's give Barrett a share and Mike a share, and let that be a bonus for being the leading crusaders. So, Paul, if you're listening and you, the one who generously offered the buying the shares for me and Mike, make it for Mike and Rick. I'll buy my own. Create an investment club and ask crusaders to buy in. That's the first goal. We're going to diversify these investments via the True Money Show or the My Fiscal Fitness model. You know, the four buckets I always talk about on the True Money Show. We're going to do it just like that with a few changes, a few twinges here, tweaks here and there. Use the fund to start. This is the long-range vision. Use the fund to start Crusader Enterprises. In other words, I want Crusaders, anybody who's got any entrepreneurial idea at all, I want you to come to us and say, hey, I just need a little startup capital, right? That's what the fund's, that's one of the reasons the fund's being created. We're going to give you that capital. It's going to be like you're going to be going on the Shark Tank, but the Shark Tank in a Crusader fashion. So you go to Shark Tank, you pitch your idea. The Shark Tank will evaluate all the ideas, however many we get, pick one, two, or three of them, I don't know how many, and then try to put that person in business. And then as profits and revenues are shared back with the fund, we're going to do it again for the next person, and again for the next person, again for the next person. We're looking to create that parallel economy I keep talking about that we need so desperately, but we never seem to be able to start. We're also trying to give people the chance to leave their jobs if they want to start these good businesses, businesses that won't make you mask up, businesses that won't go lockstep with the fascistic socialist corporate socialists that we currently have in all the big box stores. We're looking to create those businesses that believe in freedom. We're looking to create those businesses that believe in treating the human being as a human being. You see how I can kind of get all juiced up on this, right? We're going to use the fund to start Crusader Enterprises. We're also going to make loans done in a non-usurious manner for members of the club. Why not, right? If we think usury is wrong, then let's create a non-usurious loan process for members of the club. Maybe at one point we'll be so big we can loan to anyone in a non-usurious manner. The fund, meaning the fund we're creating, is going to be a profit-sharing partner in all the businesses that we're creating. And then the investment club funders, meaning those who agree to buy shares, are going to get dividend payouts of the growth is a portion of the growth of the fund. I want to make this profitable for everyone. I want to make this something where you go, hey, I'm helping someone else out, but I get helped out a little bit too. Hey, what an idea. Treating people like we'd like to be treated ourselves. And then, longest range goal, this would be phase three. The phase three in all this is that when we've created enough businesses, when we have some type of organic growth going, when we feel like that parallel economy is just starting to take off and might be something that could really undermine the current usurious corporate fascist socialist system, then we're going to create our own currency called Bank of Crusade Currency, BOX, B-O-C-S, right? Hey, how much is that? 10 bucks. Sounds so close to 10 bucks, you couldn't even tell the difference. How sweet is that? 10 bucks, Dave. And when we get to that level, guys, we've won. I think we've already won, but we're really going to win then because we're going to do it better than they do it. Where's my zip-titty-doo-zah song when I need it? So if you want to know, if you want to see that full presentation, I just did one slide for you there. You want to see the full presentation on what I've got in my mind and what I'm planning? Go to crusadechannel.com. Not exactly right now. I'm thinking maybe tomorrow, Friday at the latest, all the video will be up and you can download it for your viewing and listening pleasure. By the way, that was just the goals of the Crusade Investment Club. I'm going to tell you what I've done already in building the investment club later in the show. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. I am David Simpson here in the True Money Show. By the way, you see, we're going to get true money out of this. We're going to have Box before it's over with. True money. Money that holds its value. Money that's not being inflated. And money that's going to be useful to you and to your friends. And all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen before it's all over with? Those Box that we create, and I don't know how long it'll be, but those Box we create, that will become the international currency, I tell you, because everybody wants true money. Everybody wants it. They just can't get it because every country now has a central bank and they're inflating and whatever, they're stealing from you all the time. That's what they do. That's the whole scheme, to steal from you secretly. But once we have Box, things that hold value, and the value actually stays in the Box, everybody's going to want one. And then they'll all come running to us and we'll go, yeah, you should have been a crusader a long time ago. 844-527-8723. You can call me. I am David Simpson, True Money Show. I'm going to go back in the chat room real quick. Oh, I see S.E. Iceman's in there. Rusty is in there. And Sparker, Alec Holmes. I don't know. It's just a regular party. There's almost 50 people in there. I don't know if you've ever been in the chat room, but if you haven't, and if you're not a paying member, you can't. So join up today at crusadechannel.com. Go to the chat room. You'll meet other crusaders from around the world. And this is where all those friendships are made. That's one of the things I asked at the Congress. I kept asking, okay, who are you in the chat room? Oh, I'm S.C. Iceman. Oh, I can't remember the guy. Why can I not remember this one now? I don't think he's in the chat room today. Anyway, he's always in the chat room. He's not there today. And I said, oh, that's you. That's you. And I said, now I'm putting faces to monikers. That was nice. So I told you to look out if you're, oh, wow, somebody put a picture up from the Congress. There's a smoke fest going on. It looks like I have my back to the picture. That's probably the best thing. If you don't have to see my face, you're better off. But there's Father Glad, Rusty, John, Mike, DePaul. Well, it's a nice crowd there. All blowing smoke. What's new? All right, so if you're blowing up a bubble, if you blow up a bubble, and you've done this before when you were kids, you always watch the guy with the little quick finger or the little pen in his hand, right? Because he's going to pop the bubble right in your face. So how about this for this day in money history? May 12th, 1927. I need Mike's. You know, Mike did those things on all of his audio documentaries. The guy, you can hear the typewriter. Timeline. May 12th, 1927. May 12th, 1927. With the German stock market up more than 160% in the previous 17 months, central banker, surprise, surprise, central banker Hjalmar Schacht is worried about irrational exuberance. Yeah, I'm sure. So he borrowed Greenspan's term, but you know, some kind of anachronistic borrowing from the future. Anyway, central banker Hjalmar Schacht is worried about irrational exuberance. He pressures Berlin's biggest banks to issue a joint statement in which they announce that margin loans, those are the ones which enable speculators to trade stocks with borrowed money, those will be restricted. The next day, Black Friday, German stocks crash 11%, helping to trigger the early onset of economic depression. This was reported in by Hans Joachim Voth with a bang, not a whimper, pricking Germany's stock market bubble in 1927 from King's College, Cambridge, UK. Here's the thing. This is what they do, right? For fun, I went back 17 months to our own stock market to see if we gained 160% in 17 months. We have not. In 17 months, we've gained 34.3%. But if you go back and look from since 2008, we've gained 456% in the market. That's 35% a year. But here's my point, really. Notice what they did. Germany, like us, was in an inflationary expansion, had an inflationary expansion policy. There's a fine-looking gentleman from the Crusade Congress. Who put that in there? Who's that nice fella? Let's see. Brian K. Well, thank you very much, BK Steakhouse. Brian, you can put a picture of yourself. You gave a speech too, you know. I was on a roll. All right, here we go. No, this is what they do. Bankers, inflationary, expansionist policies, right? They make asset prices look like they're rising because their dollars are getting worth less and less and less and less. It takes more dollars to buy the same thing, in other words, or in this case, more marks, or whatever the German currency was at the time. I guess it was marks. I don't remember. But then they come out one day after they create this massive bubble, and they say something stupid like, you know, I kind of think maybe there's too much irrational exuberance floating around. I think maybe the stock market's too high, and I'm scared because I don't want the economy to take it on the chin, which is a lie because they're trying to make the economy at that point take it on the chin. They do inflationary policy bubbles, and they pop them because that's what they do. Believe me when I tell you this. Before they popped the bubble, they got on the right side of the market, which would have been selling short, and they make a killing. Whenever they say $3 trillion evaporated from the market today because of a downturn, it didn't evaporate. It went into somebody else's account. And we know who that is. So watch out. It's my warning of today. This day in money history is a warning. When we see inflationary expansionist policy getting really revved up, when it looks like inflation is about to set in like it's never set in before, watch the guy with the pen. He's going to come pop the bubble, and you're going to see some of the worst deflationary pressures of all time. You won't be able to sell anything. You know why? There won't be anything to sell. Lots of money floating around, no goods and services. What good is a currency then? 844-527. Yeah, a little frenetic intemperance. that's right, Rusty. It's the same thing. Mr. Horvath is talking about it in a cultural and a psychological a way, you know, that just the idea of us having this unrest. But it's the same thing in the economic market. When they call that irrational exuberance, it is frenetic intemperance. Can't leave well enough alone. Never seem to be able to do it. So one of the outcomes of the Congress, well, you know, actually, before I say that, let me do this. I was tooling around on the Crusade Channel's website. I don't know if any of you guys do that, but you need to every once in a while because, you know, there's always new stuff floating around, or in this case, there's always a deal floating around. And so, you know, you go to crusadechannel.com/shop, and when that opens up, across the top, there's all these, you know, categories, you know, your books, your cigars and food, whatever. But there's always one that says $5 deals. And look, I'm a financial advisor, man. I'm looking for deals everywhere. And so there's Brian. By the way, that Congress, the Upon These Rocks Congress, that beautiful, beautiful painting by Norman Foshé, it's been made into, you can see it on the front of the podium there if you're in the chat room. It's been made into prayer cards as well. Beautiful prayer card. So it's got the knighting ceremony, the beautiful painting on the front of the card. You flip the card over, and O Holy Family, by virtue of your divine example, lead us to seek and then to practice vocations that dignify work, serve God, and enrich the lives of men in our communities through Christ our Lord. Amen. So these prayer cards are going to be available on the website as well. I think they already are. Beautiful prayer card. This would be something awesome to stick in either your missal or in the current Catholic great literature that you're reading, which I'm about to talk about in a minute. So if you have literature you're reading, stick this prayer card in there. It'll remind you of the Congress. You'll see this beautiful idea of having a king, knightliness, courts, maidens, farms and fields, and, of course, suffused with prayer. What a beautiful thing. So go check out the cards. Norman Foshé did one unbelievable job on this painting. And it really, you need to go. Sadly, that thing did not reach the minimum bid. I have one of Norman's sketches in my house. You really want this guy's work in your house. If Mike's going to put that back up for bid, you need to go bid on it and try to win that thing. And bid high because it's really, really valuable. Okay. What I was saying was the $5 deals, right? What, I got a minute left? 2 minutes. Good. $5 deal. I'll do 2 minutes of a little pitch for something, and then I'll come back and tell you more about, a snake eating its own tail, and watch the guy with the pen. We did that one, right? Another voice singing my song. That's what I want to get to next. All right, so the $5 deals. So you go in there, and Mike's got all the bumper stickers you could ever want. You've got the Convert bumper sticker, the Veritas Radio Network bumper sticker. You got the Crusade Channel bumper sticker. All those for $5. There's also two books in there for $5. One is The Author of Liberty. That's Dr. George's. The guy used to be on the Crusade Channel. Dr. George's book for $5, Author of Liberty. And then Mike's reprint of John Taylor Carriage Tax Constitutionality Debate, which is very appropriate for today as well, because everything's either constitutional or unconstitutional, but they never know which one until they decide what liberal program they're trying to support. Let's go back to real constitutionality. Let's really read the Constitution and what it means. And going back to the founders is one sure way to do it. So go pick up any of those things for $5. That's a $5 deal. All available at crusadechannel.com/shop. Click on the tab that says $5 deals. All right, when we come back, you'll hear a lot more on the True Money Show, David Simpson, Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
True Money Show is to people's love of fiat currency what Van Helsing was to Satan's love of Dracula.
Justin, why do you need money if you can't buy gasoline? I mean, you don't even need money anymore. There's nothing to buy. Look, wait till the epidemic of the crisis of nothing on the shelves goes beyond gas. Wait till it's no medicines, no food. Hey, by the way, all that meat you guys used to eat, yeah, that's not here anymore. I just went there and talked to this. Hey, welcome back to the True Money Show. I'm David Simpson, Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I go in there and say, so, Mike, what's up with the gas shortage? He goes, it's contrived. They fixed it. It's a kill shot. Mike's always got the answers, right? And I'm like, well, you know, I have a passing interest in this. My son is in Virginia. He's going to be driving back. My wife actually called me today and said, do you know there's a gas shortage? You know, and, of course, we use that with air finger quotes. You know, there's a gas shortage. He's like, what? You know, living on college campus is oblivious to the rest of the world, which is kind of what I wanted. But why does the world have to keep coming in? Anyway, he's oblivious to the rest of the world living on his college campus. And and lo and behold, she's like, well, I hope you filled up ready. He goes, oh, I filled up. Yeah, I'm filled up ready for the drive home on Friday. She's like, well, good. And then she's asking me, you know, where is he going to stop on the way home? I said, I don't know. You know, I really don't. I mean, I'm thinking of the states he's got to drive through and which ones are being stupid and which ones aren't. But he's driving from northern Virginia all the way. I think the first gas stop will be kind of in southern Virginia, around Marion, I guess. And, you know, I don't know if I heard there was actually a couple of towns in Virginia that were completely out of gas. So I'm just hoping it's not Marion And then I hope once he gets into that little strip of Tennessee and, oh, I don't know, northern Georgia and whatever, Alabama, that maybe it's more normal. But this is just so absurd. So frigging absurd. So I have a financial question of the day, which is not financial at all. By the way, I was texting in, I'm not texting, I was typing in the chat room that I went and got a sword out of Mike's office. This is one of the swords. It's a plastic sword, but still, it makes me feel like I'm holding a sword. It's one of the swords we had at the Congress. They were the cross swords taped in front of the podium. And Mike had some real swords there, too, that were pretty darn pretty cool. So, but, what a different era, right, where you carried around a sword to defend yourself, to maybe even use as a tool every now and then to, let me put it back over there. But I've always loved the sword because of the cross that it forms, right? In other words, you almost can't not be a crusader. Is that double negative? You can't not be. You have to be a crusader if you're carrying a sword around because the cross is built into it. So I always loved it. Remember that scene in Braveheart where Uncle Argyle is kneeling down and he's got his sword and he's holding his sword into the ground with his, you know, he's got his hands actually on the blade and he's staring at the cross of the sword that the sword makes. And he's praying the prayer for his dead brother. The imagery is unmistakable, right? The cross, the crusade, Christianity, fighting, the church militant. It's all there. It's all built into that one weapon. What a great thing. Okay. So I told you I would answer my own financial question of the day at the end of the show, which is, are you afraid? And you know, this kind of came to me. Like I said, I've been meditating this on a long time, and I really believe that everyone is infected with a fear that is so pervasive. So nearly omnipresent, but I won't give the devil an attribute of God. But he sure has tried to make it to where he wants you to think he's everywhere and he's watching you and he can take you down whenever you want. And everyone's walking around with this fear because we've been propagandized into believing it, that we're alone, that that no one's going to help us, that we can't trust anyone. Can't work together. No one believes like we do. On and on and on and on. And it's and by the way, the church is participating in this somewhat. And it's frustrating because the church is pushing around this false sense that what Thomas Aquinas would call slavish obedience. We were never supposed to be slavishly obedient. Every person with a well-formed conscience is supposed to be able to judge much of what's around him, not everything. And we always have. There's always some particular kind of nuances we have to talk about when we're talking about our superiors. We're not free to willy-nilly judge them, but we can judge them in certain, under certain circumstances, and we must under certain circumstances. But the church has been pushing around this slavish obedience idea. You know, you just listen. If you're a subordinate, you listen and do. Well, last I checked, that was Nuremberg. I mean, and that one didn't work out for the guys who gave that defense. No, you've got a well-formed conscience. You're supposed to use it. And I'm begging you to do so. But anyway, I'm asking that question. Are you afraid? Are you afraid to act? Are you afraid to associate with people? Maybe you think, oh, if you become a member of the crusade, if you listen to that Mike Church guy, you're gonna get outed. You're gonna get canceled. You can't listen to Mike Church. If you went to the insurrection in Washington, D.C., I saw that described as an insurrection the other day. Really? Really? People protesting because they believed that the election was stolen and that's an insurrection? Okay, whatever. Yeah, so that's people are scared because they don't want to be labeled an insurrectionist. They don't want to be labeled a crusader, a Mike Churchite. I doubt they'd care if they were David Simpsonite. It sounds too much like luggage. Simpsonite. whatever. All right. 844-527-8723. How about this one? So this came out of the Congress, too. I asked the question during my speech whether people consider themselves a capitalist. And, you know, a good number of people raise their hands. And I would have raised my own hand years ago. But now I don't even like the word because, one, I don't think it really means anything, capitalist. I can tell you what I think it really means in today's nomenclature. But years ago, I would have said, yeah, I'm a, you know, we might, maybe a better term be I'm a free market guy, you know, I'm a laissez-faire guy. But I remember one time Ferrara, Chris Ferrara said, I think on Mike's show, oh, I'd be a free market if I ever could find a free market. You know, I'd be a free marketeer if I ever could find a free market, meaning all markets are controlled now. So can you even be a free market guy anymore? Kind of, you know, kind of hit me between the eyes. Like, it's kind of true. Like, where's there any freedom in the economic realm? I had to take a little drink there, guys. And so I think, you know, all the criticisms that I think that are being applied to capitalism now are really not, and this is one of the guys who spoke to me at the conference when making this distinction. He goes, well, it's not capitalism to criticize. I mean, it's a pseudo-capitalism, and he's right. But my counterpoint would be, tell me if what you think is capitalism ever really existed, and even if it did, would it be a good thing? Now, let me describe what I'm talking about when I say capitalism under this context. Brother Francis taught us that an ism, all isms, don't assert things. They don't affirm things. So a capitalist is not someone who says, I believe in capital, because capital exists everywhere. A capitalist, a capitalism, is saying that there is nothing but capital. So it's not what it affirms, it's what it denies. So a true capitalist, if you're applying that definition of what an ism is someone who says everything's capital, even human beings. That's why we have departments now called human resources. It's people. It's people. People are not resources. People are human beings. And so if you take that definition of capitalism, it's already distorted, right? Meaning we're not talking about capital and the good use of capital, because everyone would say you can use capital. Soylent Green, thank you very much, Alaconis. You're the only one who got the reference. Soylent Green is people. It's not that we don't like capital. Anybody who works and trades and, you know, suffers to earn and produce likes capital. That's not the problem. The problem is if you start believing that everything is capital and all things should be capital. And that's the aberrational capitalism I'm criticizing. And I found, interestingly enough, today, again, the easiest show ever to prepare. I was thinking about this thought. I remember having a conversation with a few people about why I was being somewhat critical of capitalism in my speech. And I was like, well, because capitalism is, I believe, the other side of a coin that wants to enslave people. Communism being one side of that coin and capitalism being the other. Well, lo and behold, and I'm not kidding, this happened to me completely by happenstance. Lo and behold, I see a headline on Yahoo or something, and it says, the false dichotomy, communism versus capitalism. This is available. And by the way, I've never seen this website before and just popped up to my screen today somehow. So I know my Holy Ghost has given me some things to talk about today. It's at AmericanGreatness.com. That's AmGreatness.com if you want to do the website. But it's called AmericanGreatness.com. Charles Urlacher is the writer. And he writes this, the false dichotomy, communism versus capitalism. Now, I only have one criticism of this whole article, and we'll get to that at the end. But he says this, are the international capitalists who controlled the United States in the 1980s and 2000s Lenin's new useful idiots? This is from May 7th, 2021. I'll read some parts of this. I don't know if I read the whole thing. We'll get to, I want to kind of speed through it so I can get to some of my other things I promised you. Here, Mr. Urlacher starts off, we are all told that all of history since Marx and Engels has been the battle between capitalism and socialism. It's a simple way of looking at these worldviews, but alas, it's largely untrue. This blind spot, especially among Americans on the right, is one reason why the United States is turning into the untied states of America. Rather than being diametrically opposed ideologies, these two ideas are two sides of the same soulless and materialist coin. Now, how many times have I said that? I've actually said there's two sides of the same coin before, and everyone going, True Money Show Dave ranting again. Here's a guy I've never heard of from a website I've never been to saying the same thing. Now, I'll go one step further. One of the guys I was talking to about capitalism at the Congress kept saying, well, no, you're not criticizing capitalism, you're criticizing pseudo-capitalism. And my response, I don't know if he got my response, was even in the purest form I can think of, it still is an aberration because it's classifying everyone as capital. It's still a materialistic, in other words, position, denying the spiritual and denying the value of humanity. And that's in the best variety. And I didn't always believe this. But what I found curious is the guy that was arguing with me a little bit about it was saying that in theory, his laissez-faire free market capitalism was going to be a great thing. In theory. And I always want to say to people like that, damn the theory, tell me what's happening on the ground outside. Do you see small businesses undoing big businesses like the theorist always told us they would? Do you see the free market self-correcting like they always told us it would? Or do you see the exact opposite? Aggregation upon aggregation upon aggregation of wealth in the hands of an ever smaller few people who abuse the rest of us, either by buying the politicians or by owning the process outright, or by closing their doors and saying, you can't come in here unless you wear a mask and take a vaccine. The corporatists are fascists, and they allege to be the leaders of capitalism. So let me see if I can draw the worldviews into starker contrast. Socialism has been called, to be a little more descriptive, atheistic materialism. Okay, so socialism, if you want to think what socialism and communism is, it's atheistic materialism. Why do I say capitalism is the flip side of that coin? Because capitalism is materialistic naturalism. So in the socialist communist world, they deny God outright. In the capitalist world, they just try to pretend he doesn't exist, that all things can be explained through nature. But both of them are materialistic philosophies that degrade man's spiritual component. Now, any person who was trained like I was, who believed all the capitalistic nonsense that gets paraded around as it would work, it would work, it would work, it would work, and all the, and by the way, who hates the whole idea, the counter idea of distributism, which they always say is socialism, it's not. But anybody who, they always deride distributism, those people would agree that we shouldn't be materialists. But they don't see the fact that capitalism is materialistic philosophy. And that is where I think we need to get to if we're going to start trying to make things better. Okay. So back to Mr. Urlacher. When teaching classes on current events, the topic of corporate investments in China inevitably arises. Isn't this a contradiction? How can a country devoted to communism allow capitalism to penetrate its economy? Why would these implacable enemies, in quotes, do business with each other? The usual answer given by the Western foreign policy establishment and most of the educated classes is to say that China isn't really communist. How many of these people know history, he says? How many actually read Marxist literature? Yes, Karl Marx believed that communism would be born through violent revolution. Not every individual inspired by Marx's copious writings agreed with him, however, that communism would always or necessarily emerge from violent revolution. From the earliest days, some Marxists argued that communism would emerge through evolutionary means. Just all you have to do is make the human a materialist, and communism, socialism will follow, even if it's by the road of capitalism. So he gives a few examples. Edward Bernstein was possibly the most important theorist to argue this view. Bernstein maintained a close relationship with Marx's sugar benefactor, Friedrich Engels. Incidentally, people forget that Engels himself was a capitalist. Bernstein was among the first to say that communism would emerge from capitalism. In his tome, Evolutionary Socialism, he writes, now here's the first line of the quote. with the spread of the capitalistic large enterprises. Does that sound like our world today? Capitalistic large enterprises. Now, I know my friend's going to say, they aren't really capitalists. They're corporate socialists. I know. I don't really care. Because I maintain they're two sides of the same coin. One developed out of the other. You have to explain why that is. Don't just tell me, well, that's not really capitalism. It came from it. It's the progeny of it. With the spread of the capitalistic large enterprises, there is assumed to be a lasting and steadily increasing material cause for the impetus of to a socialistic transformation of society. Like production itself, the conditions of existence for the producers press towards the socialization of production and exchange. As soon as this development is sufficiently advanced, the realization of socialism becomes an imperative necessity for the further development of the community, says Mr. Bernstein. According to that, we have as the first condition of the general realization of socialism a definite degree of capitalist development. Back to Mr. Urlacher. That's the close quote from Edward Bernstein. Socialism, in other words, says Mr. Urlacher, will come not through violent revolution, but through natural evolution as the capitalists unwittingly bring about their own replacement. That's my only criticism of this entire article, is that Mr. Urlacher actually thinks the capitalists are just dupes. They're fools. They're unwittingly falling into this trap. I got news for you, Mr. Urlacher. When the Rockefeller Foundation and when Ford and all these big money guys in America that were allegedly capitalists, when they bailed out the Russian Revolution, and they did, those weren't just, oops, we made a mistake supporting communism. They knew. They knew. You can have communism through revolution, or you can have communism through a capitalistic evolution. And the capitalists at that time were helping the pseudo-capitalists, the monopolistic capitalists, the ones that want this world enslavement. They were helping out the revolutionary form as they were still devouring us with the capitalistic form. I don't know how to make it any clearer than that. Aaron says, the state and capitalism partnered in the grand theft that caused the destruction of Catholic social order, the loss of village life, and the independence of the cottager. Finally, the creation of capitalist social order with all its abuses. You know, that's good. I mean, yes, I will go you one further, Aaron. Notice how the United States, being what most people would say is the beacon of capitalism, right? What did we war against from our inception until today? And if you answered Catholic monarchy, you get the grand prize. They were killing them and killing them all the way to the point where they couldn't even leave Ferdinand Marcos, a petty they called him a dictator. I think people actually liked Marcos in the Philippines. They couldn't even leave Ferdinand Marcos alone in the Philippines. They had to kill him too. Well, they didn't kill him. They ousted him because they cannot stand the idea of Catholic leadership trying to create a culture and an order that is humane. And remember the big, the big criticism that his wife, Imelda, she had thousands of shoes, and they thought that was just so crass and how terrible. She's got all these shoes while peasants in Philippines are starving, allegedly. That was the story, right? You know where she got the shoes from? They had shoe factories in the Philippines, and the peasants that they were saying didn't love her were giving them to her. The first pair was always given to Imelda Marcos as like a little honorarium, a little gift. Hey, this is what our country created today. Ooh, she's evil. 22 years later, in the midst of the widespread destruction, death, and famine following the Russian Civil War, the Bolshevik leader Vladimir Lenin argued something very similar to Mr. Bernstein earlier. Facing the grim reality of a broken and war-torn country, he opted not to go immediately to a total communist command economy, but rather led the Soviet Union through a capitalistic phase, which he called the New Economic Policy. And in his October 1921 report to the Second All-Russia Congress of Political Education Departments, he said the following. Now, notice, I think we've lost some expressions we used to use, and one of them is the command economy. That's what socialism is. Now, let me ask you this. This command and controlled economy. Do you feel like maybe our economy is a little bit commanded and controlled when they tell you you can't eat out at restaurants? You can't go to school? You can't. Thank you, Capswin, for the donation. Awesome. I didn't even have to say donate to the chat room. Somebody did it. You can't go to schools. You can't go shopping unless you stand 6 feet apart and don't sneeze on anybody. You got to be vaccinated before you come here or there. We're not going to let you vote because, we got to make sure you're safe. And now, listen, we're shutting the gas line off. Oh, I know. It was hacked and we got all these tanker problems. Yeah, sure. So gas goes from being probably some of the lowest price it's been in 40 years, just a half a year ago, to escalating in price and not even being available, all by accident, right? Or is that maybe a command economy in action? By the way, in the beacon of capitalism, I know, but Dave, they're not capitalists. That's the bad guys taking over capitalism. No. Well, if that's your theory, that's your theory. My theory is one grows from the other when you deny the spirit. Go back to my original definition of capitalism. It's that materialistic naturalism. If you deny the spirit, if you deny God, and all you focus on is money and the accumulation of riches, then you will go down the same path as socialism. Okay. Let's hear what Lenin said. This is what, we're kind of going to the horse's mouth here. Let's hear what Vladimir Lenin said in 1921. We must not count on going straight to communism. We must build on the basis of peasants' personal incentive. Look, they're using the capitalist argument. Let's incentivize the peasant. He'll be happy to work. He won't know he's enslaving himself because he'll be prospering. We have to build on the basis of peasants' personal incentive. We must also give every specialist an incentive to develop our industry. Get down to business, all of you. You will have capitalists beside you, including foreign capitalists, concessionaires, and leaseholders. They will squeeze profits out of you amounting to hundreds percent. They will enrich themselves operating alongside of you. Let them. Meanwhile, you will learn from them the business of running the economy. And only when you do that will you be able to build up a communist republic, close quote. That's Lenin. Mr. Urlacher says, Lenin could not have been more clear. He says he will use capitalism to achieve a communistic republic. He incorporated capitalism as an evolutionary stage in the development of the Soviet Union. Now, I'm going to skip a few paragraphs, but the essence of the next few paragraphs are that Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong, they decided not to do it that way. They wanted the revolutionary phase, and so they got rid of the economic policies and started trying to kill people to make them communist, okay? So that's what happened next. But China eventually turned. So in China, back to Mr. Urlacher, there, its leader, Deng Xiaoping, chose to grant wider economic freedoms while absolutely holding on to political power. He chose a Chinese version of Lenin's new economic policy. In a 1986 interview with Mike Wallace, Deng himself explained, quote, there was a view that poor communism was preferable to rich capitalism. I criticized that view. This is the communist leader of China. There was a view that poor communism was preferable to rich capitalism. I criticized that view. I said to them that there was no such thing as poor communism. According to Marxism, communist society is based on material abundance. Material abundance. Materialism. Now, they never achieve it in communist lands. I get that. You're going to say, well, they don't get that. They don't. That's not true. No, but that's the allegation. That's the enticement. The enticement is a materialism. What's the enticement in a capitalism? Materialism. According to Marxism, communist society is based on material abundance. Only when there is material abundance can the principle of a communist society, that is, quote, he's quoting Marx now, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, close quote, be applied. Socialism is the first stage of communism, says Deng Xiaoping. Of course, it covers a very long historical period. The main task in the socialist stage is to develop the productive forces, keep increasing the material wealth of society, steadily improve the life of the people, and create material conditions for the advent of a communist society. Sounds like the advent of the Americanist dream, too. Now, look, this is a communist talking. How much of this is propaganda and lies? How much of this is just Marxist jargon? Who knows, right? I don't know. But in reality, can anyone say that what he's describing doesn't sound exactly like what we chased in America and we're getting the same outcome? In other words, materialism leads to growth in power in the government, which leads to a command economy in the socialist communist arrangement, right? And it leads to the same thing in the capitalist arrangement. Material prosperity, elect a bunch of jackalegs who have no regard for you whatsoever. They nationalize the corporations, and then they give you a command economy. Is there a difference? Like Lenin, says Mr. Urlacher, Deng explicitly saw development into a communist society as an evolutionary, not a revolutionary process. Hence, to him, there was no contradiction in opening up China to foreign investment and to allowing capitalism to develop in the special economic zones he designated along its eastern coast. This policy continues in a modified guise today. China's current president, Xi Jinping, said in 2013, quote, "We must adhere to Marxism and socialism from a developmental perspective. With each step, we will encounter new situations and unfamiliar problems. We will face greater risk and challenges, and we will be confronted by the unexpected. We must be prepared for adversity and danger, even in times of prosperity and peace." Look, the controllers of the state, the international financiers, the people that are on both sides of this coin, the ones who inspire revolutions and in certain places where they know they can get away with it, and then they also cause this capitalistic wild rage for wealth and prosperity because they know that will lead people to become materialist in these non-communist-minded societies. Those people don't care if you are a starving peasant or if you're a fat and happy slave. They only care that you are controlled. That is the end game. Now, when you tie this in with Our Lady, who said the errors of Russia will spread throughout the world, I don't know how we can miss the point. Now, in a minute, I'm going to get to my talking about the investment club again. And I know the criticism. Oh, it sounds like you're trying to use capitalism to beat capitalism. Okay, keep that thought in mind, and I'll explain in a minute how I'm not doing that. Let's finish with Mr. Urlacher's article here. Did you learn this in school? Did it ever occur to your leaders and teachers or our feckless elites that communism could come not through tanks and barbed wire, but through Nike shoes and the Apple iPhone? I doubt it. Yet Bernstein, Lenin, Deng, and Xi all agree with that premise. The question we should ask is, why did conservative, pro-capitalist think tanks such as the Heritage Foundation think they knew more about communism than Deng as they and then President George H.W. Bush when he began linking American capital with communist China? And did they think they knew more, as did his son, George W. Bush? Did he really understand communism more thoroughly than Xi Jinping did when in 2001 Bush granted China permanent normal trade status? This is where the guy, again, is kind of clueless. He thinks that the Bushes just accidentally fell into this. The Bushes are in the club, guys. The Bushes, all the way back to forming the Federal Reserve. You know, did you know their ancestor was involved in the Federal Reserve Foundation? Right? They wanted to create the abusive capitalism, the fascistic capitalism, the corporate socialism, whatever name you want to give to the abusive variety. Again, I still think it flows from the same plant, but that's neither here nor there. They were involved in setting up this wild capitalism that always leads to enslavement because it's got a materialistic start and a materialistic end. Well, that's Charles J. Urlacher's article The False Dichotomy. Is that what it's called? The False Dichotomy, Communism versus Capitalism. You can find it over at amgreatness.com, americangreatness.com. I just happened upon it today. First time ever saw that website. First time ever I've heard Mr. Urlacher's name. Didn't go searching for it. It came to me out of the blue. Again, easiest show in the world to prepare for today because everything just fell into my lap. I believe I'm on to something. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. I'm David Simpson here on the True Money Show, Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I got a message for you straight from the music world. So that's the Beach Boys, of course, but they got Lori Morgan fronting the band, singing the main line. I guess the guy couldn't be there at Rangy anymore. Well, so why should you not worry? We're not worried about these capitalistic corporate fascists. We're not worried about the communistic barbarians who like to revolt and kill everyone in their land. Why? Why aren't we worried, Dave? Shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we be, Dave? Shouldn't we be worried a little bit? I mean, those guys seem like they had a lot of money and lots of guns. Well, I'm not worried about them because it only takes one guy and God to fix them. Real easy. And only, you really don't need the one guy other than God likes to see somebody with faith act a little bit, which is what the Congress is all about. I mean, think about it. The Congress was so inspiring for that reason, too. One person stood up after another. One person from one kingdom, one person from another kingdom, one person from another kingdom, one person from another. They didn't come in with an entourage. I think Dusonia, they tried to stack the deck. Those Dusonites, I don't know if those Dusonians came in with like three or four people from their kingdom. Everybody else just had one. But anyway, that's a digression. My point is, one person from one kingdom. Hey, Aaron, by the way, Aaron, notice they tried to kill the kings all over the globe, but a bunch more have popped up. Catholic kings are back. Christland. Well, Christ, I don't have a kingship. Mine's a stewardship, but you get it. Mike's got King Land. Mike even named his King Landia. So I was going to tell you more about the investment club before I wrap up my show and answer my financial question of the day, which is, are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Don't worry, baby. Don't worry, baby. Don't worry, baby. Nothing to worry about. Even if you get killed, maybe we go back to the beginning of the show where I talk about martyrdom a little bit. Maybe God wants to see that kind of faith commitment where a few of us have to, you know, lose our heads before the world turns around. I'm thinking that those singular kingdoms out there are going to come back into the fore and be the ones that the communists and the fascistic capitalists can't kill this time. Todd, go to AM Greatness, amgreatness.com. I'm not going to be quick enough to be able to type it in there. AM Greatness, all one word, .com, and just look up Charles Urlacher, The False Dichotomy, Communism versus Capitalism. Yeah, Lori Morgan was pretty. Okay, so I wanted to tell you about the investment club. I gave you kind of the theme. What's the grand vision of the investment club? I'm just going to call it the Crusader Investment Club because I don't have another name for it. If you guys come up with a better name, send it over. But I think we got to stick with the investment club because that's a safe place. Notice, by the way, guys, I say I'm not afraid. I'm saying, well, I'll tell you if I am afraid or not in a minute, but I'm still smart. I mean, I'm not going to go fly in the face of these power mongers and try to get myself killed. I'm going to be savvy. I'm going to be tactful, strategic, as wise as I can be. Wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. I'm going to try to be, but I don't think at some point they're going to care. At some point they're going to say, I don't care. You said something one time on the True Money Show, and we know likey, so we're going to kill you now, Dave. Okay, thank you. So what about this investment club? This is going to be a, let me tell you, you want a really simple way of thinking about this? This is going to be a free association of like-minded people with a common purpose and a chance for profit. Right? It's a nice little way of saying it. We're just getting together. It's going to be an open forum. It's my idea, and I'm building the organization right now, and I plan to stay involved in the administration of the thing. But it's an open forum. I want club members to participate. I want them to give me input. I want them to help me grow the thing, make it better, smarter, wiser, more practical, everything. Right? Let me tell you what the investment club seeks. So I'm starting to do the quote-unquote prospectus, even though I don't have to do a prospectus on an investment club. But I'm going to give you guys what the club is all about, what we're going to try to do. So the investment club seeks the four following things: long-term growth of capital, micro-lending to club members in a non-usurious manner, by the way. We're going to seek business investment, development, and even maybe business loans. But the goal there being to create crusader businesses, good, humane businesses. And then the last thing, after long-term growth of capital, micro-lending to club members, business development and loaning, preservation of capital and inflation hedge via hard assets. This is going to be invested just like I invest all my clients' money in those four boxes. Now, here's the purpose statement. The investment club will invest in individual market assets or funds, seek interest income, partner in joint ventures with entrepreneurs, and hold gold and silver bullion. The club funds will be administered by an advisory board, and each investment objective will be overseen by an individual advisor or group of advisors. The frequency and breadth of the club member reporting will be set forth in future documents. So in other words, how often we tell you what the club's doing and how much money we have and all that kind of stuff will be done. I'll tell you how often and in what depth later. And likewise, the manner and mode of future distribution of gains to club members will be set forth in a separate document. Now, you might say, hey, Dave, still kind of iffy. I know I'm gonna have more specific things going out to the email to club members. I don't think a radio show is the best place to explain all these things. But I want to tell you what I've already done. I want to tell you where I've gone so far. So I did a little research on how to start an investment club. I actually came up with a nice little article by a guy named Robert Farrington. But I want to address that issue. Dave, are you going to use capitalism to fight capitalism? No, that's not what we're doing. There's nothing wrong, as I said earlier, with capital in and of itself. Capital is just a natural byproduct of production. Whatever you don't eat, drink, and use, if you have a reserve left over, that's called capital. And you can do with it what you want. Nothing evil in it. It's capitalism is where it starts to go awry. The idea that nothing, or everything, I should say, is capital. That there's nothing that's not capital. No, we're going to use our capital. We're going to use the capital that we bring together and then produce to build a humane economy. And whatever economy, whatever you want to call that economic idea, you call it what you want. I have other words for it, but I don't want to use them because people don't like these other words. But we're going to create a humane parallel economy because that's the right thing to do. Because we want good businesses. Because we want other people to profit. Because we want a larger amount of owners. Because we want people to have capital. If we're so capitalistic, why doesn't anybody have any? We want people to have capital, and we're going to create a system by which that happens. And so we're going to take capital, with nothing wrong with it in itself, and use it for a good purpose, not capitalistic. Again, I don't know what you want to call that new economy. We'll call it the crusader economy, one that loves Christ, seeks first the kingdom of God, and then lets all that other stuff get added unto us. I'm abusing the scriptures here. Pardon me. So anyway, what have I done so far? Well, I have found and organize the potential members. We're at like 30 to 33 right now of the 100 that I want. We're going to launch if I get to 50. If I don't get to 50, I won't even launch the crew. I won't even launch the fund. If 50 people don't want to start a Crusader fund, the Crusader Investment Club, I'll just consider it a bad idea. I'll consider it a non-starter, and I'll just send your money back. Or if I've even gotten it. Yeah, Cesare, I will let you know where to send the money. I'm going to start sending out emails now. From this point forward, all the emails will be kind of what I'm calling the prospectus. I'll send out one thing about the purpose statement. Then I'll send out a description of who's on what advisory board. And so all that stuff I want you to keep and collect, guys, so you'll have it for your own records. And then, I wasn't going to tell anybody the minimum investment Thomas, but I will. All right, I'll say it now. $5,000 is what I'm asking from each person for the 100. So we get the 100 people times 5,000. We're going to get $500,000. That's what we're going to start with. And I think that's enough to start to see if we have a winner in our hands or not. Okay. So I've been finding and organizing the potential members. The next step, of course, is I got to get a legal structure, set up the organizational structure and legal structure. So I'm still debating what the best structure will be, whether a partnership, LLC, or something of that nature. I'll dust up my law degree and I'll figure it out and put it together for us at no cost to the investment club. I'm already starting to set up the organizational structure. So I've made some requests to people to serve in certain capacities, and I will continue to make those requests till they get filled out. I will tell you broadly what they are, which is what I'm calling the chief investment officer. Is not really that. That's going to be me. I'm going to run two of the four buckets. I'm going to run the basically the long-term growth side, a little small portion in the market, and I'm going to run the gold and silver swap program. I'm going to ask someone, and I haven't asked yet, but I have somebody in mind, to run the loan, the non-usurious loans to club members, and I've already asked one person to run the Shark Tank, the one that looks for entrepreneurs and helps build businesses. I've already asked the person to run that. He's going to find two good entrepreneurs, to join him in that effort, and then those five people will represent the entire board. And so whenever the small Shark Tank three-member board can determine what business they want to invest in on their own, they will. But if they ever feel like they want more advice, they can come to the larger board, the other two people, to get our vote on it as well. So we've already got an organizational structure being set up. A legal structure is in the mix. And so from this point, and we've got a common agenda, we already know how we're going to invest and what the purpose is. So what's the last thing an investment club should do? What's the last thing? And even this article, it says this. We should have fun. We're doing something good. We're doing something valuable. We're doing something helpful. We've got a good intention. So I say we just jump on it and have some fun with one another. 844-527-8723. I got a few things to cover here. What I got, about 3 or 4 minutes left there, Justin? Four, perfect. That might give you just enough time for me to answer my question of the day and to give my financial thought of the day. You're listening to David Simpson on the True Money Show Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I wanted to thank again the person who contributed to the chat room. Every little bit helps, guys, around here on the Crusade. Mike's carrying around a load of a project, which is the Crusade Channel and all of the things that go along with it. And you can see it just by going to the website and clicking around. He's doing too much. He's working too hard and with too few pullers at the oars. If you can help out the Crusade, either by buying things in the Founders Trading Post, by adding money into the chat room, whatever you can do, every little bit helps. And I appreciate it. Mike appreciates it. And we can we'll thank you at our next Crusader Congress with a rousing toast to you and everyone else. Okay, today's thought. I told you I had a snake eating its own tail. Listen to this. This came to me today. Again, I always go to this website looking for thoughts of the day and this day in money history. Today, this was the thought of the day just by happenstance. The modern financial services industry is designed solely to serve itself, and it exists almost entirely for one purpose, the extraction of fees and commissions from the investing public. In fact, we are all locked in a constant zero-sum battle with this behemoth. That was William J. Bernstein in The Four Pillars of Investing. The modern financial services industry is in it for itself. They'll get richer and you will get poorer. Poorer. Yeah. Maybe the Crusader Investment Club is going to change the course of that endeavor as well. My financial question today with my last 2 minutes here, I asked, are you afraid? Am I afraid? Are we afraid to gather together? Are we afraid to act? Are we afraid to speak up? Are we afraid to show ourselves praying or being friends of Mike Church, maybe? You can't be a friend of that radical. If you are, you're going to jail. Mike's going to jail. It's just a matter of time. Think of all the things he said on his show that are so un-PC. Am I afraid? Well, if I'm being honest, and I try to be, quite frankly, yes, I'm afraid. And then no, I'm not afraid. And then yes, I am afraid. I'm afraid of this present darkness, yes, because I'm a human. And I understand if you're a human, if you're afraid, I get it. Like all people, we have passions, and one of those passions is fear, and the other side has stoked our fear. They made us believe that it's impossible to get out of this trap that we're in. They made us feel like nobody loves us. They made us feel like we're all alone. And so, yes, when I think about it in those terms, I'm fearful. But then I'm not. I'm not afraid when I think about our Lord calming the seas. Remember what he said when he got up? All the apostles were screaming, help us, Lord, we're sinking, we're sinking. He gets up, he says, why are you fearful? Have you not faith yet? And when I think about how God's in control, then I'm not afraid. Or more truthfully, I am afraid, but I'm overcoming my fear with faith and fortitude. And so, yes, I do fear when nearly everyone I meet seems paralyzed by the same fear and the same faithlessness. But come on, we've got a good intent. We've got honorable efforts and honorable means. The outcome's in God's hands. Let's not fear. Keep the faith and keep the fight. Thanks for listening to True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Good.